Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch with Dr. Michelle, as you always are on Fridays, 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time, here on the beautiful West Coast in Los Angeles. So nice to have you with me as always. And today, instead of having a live guest, what I decided to do was go ahead and answer some of the questions, psychologically sort of oriented questions that you've asked me. Throughout the last month, there's been a lot of changes that I see, especially in my practice, with people around the holidays, right? So we're past the holidays into the new year. And as we're rocking into the new year, and happy new year to y'all, hope 2020 proves to be one full of great health and kind of changing up some of your negative habits. And also kind of living the life that you'd like to live and not feeling so trapped by things in your life, because that happens a lot with a lot of people. We're on that hamster wheel all the time. So what I've seen around the holidays are a lot of people sort of coming to me saying, oh, I have to go see these relatives that drive me bonkers, or certain relatives are coming to stay with me and they're so annoying, or we have to fly here, we have to. A lot of that. You know, other times it's happy for many people because they do get to get together with family or good friends or whatever it is, or spend the new year with someone. But I do have a lot of people also who kind of were out of relationships, and a lot of people want to be in a relationship, especially for the new year, right? They want to be in a relationship. So I get that as well. It's fun to ring in the new year with someone special. But I say sometimes it's better to ring in the new year peacefully with some friends or family who you really like and not have to scramble to get a date, just to have a date for the new year. So what I'm getting to actually is we're going to be talking about relationships and making them last and being kind. And at the same time, authentically living up to yourself. And that's, I say this because I've seen it a lot around the holidays. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to answer some of the questions that were posed to me from straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. So what I'm doing is I'm going to look through some of the questions here. And One of the most common questions I have with folks who are in committed relationships or marriages, yeah, same thing, I guess. What does it take for marriages to last? Instead of sort of going into all the details of certain people who've written me their stuff, this is just the common question I'm just going to put out there. What does it take for marriages to last? I read a lot of literature on this. I work with couples. I work with individuals who, you know, have continued patterns of relationship issues. So we try to explore what it is that they may be doing or who they may be attracting and why, and how to change that up. So there's a really cool book called The Good Marriage, How and Why Love Lasts. And it's written by psychologist Judith Wallerstein. And it has like in-depth interviews with like 50 couples who've been married at least 9 years and had kids together and independently, and who regarded their marriage as happy, right? So in this book, there were 9 psychological tasks, okay, that seemed to be the pillars on which any marital or committed relationship rests. So here they are. These are the ones that were found out to be the most important to keeping relationships together. Okay? And, okay, here we go. That's why a lot of folks come to me in therapy. We sometimes have to separate emotionally from our childhood. And I'm not saying don't forget your parents or your family or anything like that. But sometimes we need to separate emotionally from our childhood so we can invest fully in the marriage and at the same time redefine the lines of connection with both families of origin. So when you're coming into a relationship, and it gets serious, or you marry someone, what happens is that you're dealing with the other person's family as well. And there's all these jokes about the in-laws. Oh, my God, I have to be with the in-laws. Yeah, that kind of thing. But, right? But the thing is that we really have to work through our unresolved issues that we had when we were kids. So if you were humiliated by a parent, or you were abused, it's really good to kind of try to work through this stuff before you go there into a very serious relationship. Because you're not going to, as we say, project your negative stuff onto someone else. So there'll be triggers that we all have, you know, whatever they may be when we're growing up. If we feel like we were humiliated or abused, or if we were criticized all the time, or, you know, that goes with humiliation as well. But in other words, we have to be sort of defensive. When we grow up, we have to sort of learn how to navigate the waters of people judging us, and then we become sort of defensive. And I've seen this a lot in relationships. So what we have to do sort of sometimes is really try to work through our own unresolved stuff about our self-esteem, about our triggers. Why are we so defensive? Why are we so angry about things? And, or on the other spectrum, side of the spectrum, why are we such caregivers and, it's codependent folks? We just don't like any, you know, kind of conflict. Well, you got to work through that too. So there's one. Kind of separating emotionally from your childhood's issues, kind of working through it, because you're not going to put it on your partner. All right, the second one is build togetherness based on mutual identification, shared intimacy, and an expanded conscious that includes both partners, while at the same time setting boundaries to, you know, protect each other's partner's autonomy. So, in other words, what happens sometimes is when our partner has issues, and we love them, all right, so they tell us about their woes or their problems, or if our partner becomes ill, sometimes we take that on, especially if we've been emotionally connected for a long time. And it's almost like we're together, we're like psychically communicating sometimes. We know what they're thinking. We know what they're feeling. But that's shared intimacy, and that's having empathy and love and all that stuff. But there is a way that we have to sort of set boundaries and not get consumed with our partner's stuff sometimes. So what we have to do is love them, listen, be there, but at the same time, allow our own identity to focus on what we need. And that includes also being, you know, honest and loving with them. So setting boundaries is saying, oh, honey, I can't talk about this right now. I have to jump on the line and communicate with one of my clients. And I just, let's find a better time to talk about this. Okay, that kind of thing. And also not going down the rabbit hole of drama. If they're going through a lot of suffering you know, you can shoot some ideas out there to help them solve some problems. But guys, just listen. let us yak. Let us just yak and get it out. You don't have to fix our problems all the time. We love that, by the way, that you're problem solvers, men. Guys, brain stuff. I don't know. But that's what. Not putting you down. I'm just saying. Okay, also it's important to, number three, establish a rich and pleasurable sexual relationship. You got to protect it from all your emotional crud coming from the workplace, family issues, you know. You got to keep it warm and fuzzy. You got to even, it's, you don't have to have hot sex every night. You don't, that's great if you do, good for you. But keep it pleasurable. Just the touch, just the hug. Keep physically attached to each other in some way. You know what I'm saying? If you're both conked out and you're sitting there watching Netflix, your favorite show, and you're like, oh, let's go back. That's cool. Hold hands. Cuddle next to each other. When you go to sleep, kiss each other. Tell each other you love each other. Cuddle. You got to keep that. It's not only sexual, but you've got to keep that warmth and affection going on, because that's connection. You know, I know a lot of couples that just don't, they just kind of lose it after years. They don't think about that. So that's important too. Also, number four, here we go. This is for couples with kids. You got to embrace the roles of parenthood and absorb the impact of the baby's dramatic entrance into the marriage. And the same time, the couple has to continue that work, all of the above that I just mentioned. Keeping it warm and fuzzy, and if you can have a sexual pleasure and respect each other and draw boundaries. And you know what? When a baby comes into the... You all know if you have kids. If you have a baby, they're a full-time job. That's all I'm going to say. And I see people, new couples, who really wanted a child or children, and now they can barely get sleep, they can barely make it to work, they can barely function. And that's the way it is, because little ones need help. That's all they know. They want to be fed, they want to poop, and they want to cry, and it's all good. And we're teaching them. So just don't try to be perfect. Just be loving to each other. Respect each other's frustration. That's really important. Also, another really important thing, number five, is confronting and mastering the inevitable crises of life. Okay, so what I'm talking about is there's anger and there's conflict and there's the old stuff with differing opinions and different things that we, you know, environments we've been brought in. And of course, the crises of life. You know, people pass on, people get in accidents, people get ill, that kind of thing. How can you roll together and support each other? And you can both have your own points of view, but you got to respect that. You can also both have your sense of mourning. How are you going to mourn someone's path? Everybody has their own way. You can't force anything on anyone. So it's just, there's a lot of crises that go on in a long-term relationship. And you got to just see how well you can respect the other person's ability to roll through it and not push them to do anything. Or not push them to be quiet, and not push them to, wow, you're just living this too long. You're always crying. No, just allow your partner to feel the way they need to through the stuff of life. Also, something else that's really important is number six, using humor and laughter to keep things in perspective. Oh, please, lighten up. Oh, my God, lighten up. When I see couples in my practice, we got to laugh. I get them laughing about goofy things that they say to each other. So goofy things in terms of, you know, like name calling or being defensive about something. We kind of turn it into like, are you kidding me? What is going on with you and why did you say that? To where they're both kind of laughing at each other. And, you know, you got to admit that you get defensive and angry and that you got to change some things. So use some humor. Lighten up. Laugh more. Keep things in perspective. And that really does avoid boredom and isolation. Because when we're not lightening up, they don't get it. I was just being funny. They don't get it. I'm just going to go walk into the other. No, lighten up. Go, ha, let's laugh and get cuckoo. Enjoy it. Now, I'm not talking about the serious stuff and denying things that are happening and the previous, you know, the crises of life thing that I was talking about. I'm just, and please don't think that sarcasm is funny. Sometimes there's a fine line between sarcastic pain and humor. Some people use sarcasm as humor. Sometimes it's a little iffy, though, because you always think if someone's sarcastic to you and they go, I'm just kidding, you say, I don't know why you said that then. So just be careful about that. Also, something really important is providing nurturance and comfort to each other. All right? So you satisfy each partner's need for dependency and offer continuing encouragement and support. So in other words, they're going through stuff, you help them out, vice versa. You both get to chat, you both get to feel. It's not always 50-50. Sometimes it's 30-70. Sometimes, whatever. But you have to roll with nurturance and comforting each other. And even if you're not in the mood, just try to smile and be loving and saying, I got a lot on my mind. I'm kind of stressed right now, but I hear you and I love you. Hang in there, you know. All right. And I would say that this is probably the most important thing. This is keeping alive the romantic, idealized images of when you fell in love with that person. Okay? Kind of go back to remember, what was it that made you really just think that person was amazing? What was it? Right? You gotta think about that. What was it? And go back, remember, and talk about those good old times. Talk about it, because that's really important. Those are really important things to talk about. Remember when we used to act goofy and do this and yada, 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 right? Really important. So think about that, okay? You can't always live in that, because we have to face the sober realities of the changes that go on from stuff happening that I just mentioned. You know, we got parenthood sometimes, we got too much work, we got a lot of crises going on that we are trying to scramble to handle, and all that. But you have to try to keep alive that romantic, idealized image. Keep looking for the best in that person instead of the worst. Because what happens and makes relationships crumble is we always look at the worst. They never do this. They don't do this anymore. Well, they don't. That's what couples therapy's for. How to communicate that and how to find that again. So there you go. Some ideas from a really terrific book, The Good Marriage, How and Why Love Lasts. All right. That's psychologist Dr. Judith Wallerstein. And she's the co-author of that book, by the way. It's really good. So check it out. That's a really good couples book. Love languages is great and all, but this is concrete stuff. All right, based on our research. All right, let's also, by the way, let me just say, if you have a question or comment, you can shoot that to me here, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Straighttalkdoc, I'm talking straight to you. That's what I'm saying. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Let me know. And what I can do is I can try to answer your questions. But what I'm doing is I'm going back into the archives from December. And I've contacted those folks who wrote me these questions and said, I will be talking about these things and we'll be answering some of your questions. And the identities of the individual are concealed. But these are some of the most popular questions. So here we go. Oh, boy. This is another really common thing that I hear. Why does it seem that more women want to get divorced than men? Well, it's true, statistically. More women divorce or initiate divorce than men in this country. Okay, why is that? Well, I don't know. I'm just going to tell you what I see. Okay, and what I hear. Women tend to be more concerned about their marriages than men. They just are. I'm not judging anything. I am not. Okay, how do I know that? Women buy most of the books on marriage and relationships. Women try to improve them. I have more women clients than men. Men feel more comfortable with other guys, I guess. Maybe that could be it. I'll give you that. Women usually initiate marriage counseling, couples counseling. I always get the call from the wife. Rarely in all my years have I gotten a call from a husband or the male or the other partner, whichever sexual orientation you prefer, that says, you know what? I got to call you because I've got to initiate some kind of therapy here. My partner's just, they're really hard to live with. So, yeah. So here's the thing. Women often complain about their marriages to their closest friends. Come on. And sometimes to anybody who will listen. And again, like I said, statistically, which is going to shock you probably, maybe not. They also file for divorce twice as often as men. So why is this? And you ask me this. So we're going to try to figure this out. I'm going to tell you a little bit of stuff that I do know. What do they want from their husbands? Why are they so dissatisfied? Why are so many more women filing for divorce? What bothers them? What's going on? Every single day, I am confronted by a lot of women who, not confronted, but I meet a lot of women, let me put it that way, who are really frustrated with their relationships. Okay? So here's what they usually tell me. They have no hope that their partners will ever understand what it is that's frustrating them, let alone change enough to solve the problem. So from a lot of the people's perspective who come in to see me, let's just say women's perspective, the marital problems are created by their husbands who do little or nothing to solve them. Okay? Sometimes women, because we're left, right brain, constantly moving, we tend to see themselves as the major force for resolving conflicts. Right? We do, women. And then when we give up our effort, we're done. We get tired. It's like, I'm done. Been doing this for 10 years. Can't get him to hear me. He doesn't hear me. Now, when I talk to the husbands in couples therapy, they usually have a really different explanation as to why their wives feel the way they do. So something's not being communicated here, obviously. So the men often feel that the expectations of their partners in general, and their wives in particular, have grown completely out of reach. Okay? So a lot of these guys who I see who come in for couples counseling feel that they've made a gigantic effort to be caring and sensitive to their wives. And they don't feel like they're getting any credit whatsoever for their contribution to the family. If there's kids involved or if they're just single and they're both working, doing whatever. And a lot of men tell me they feel under enormous pressure to improve their financial support, improve, you know, if they have kids, the way they raise their kids. There's always a push. There's always a little nudge. They say that little voice from their partner saying, you know, you need to treat me better. You need to hear me. So a lot of men I see are really emotionally exhausted. And they feel that for all their effort, they get nothing but criticism. Does this sound familiar, guys? Yep. Well, I see it every day. Because the thing is the simpler role of husbands and partners in decades past has now been replaced by a much more complex and confusing role, especially in their relationships. Especially if you're in a relationship with a woman. Because we're pinging on left and right. Sides of the brain. We're not only solving problems, we're thinking about the what ifs. What if? What if? What if? And it's the emotional what ifs, not it's the solving problems what if financially necessarily so much. And I just think it's old brain stuff that women always had to communicate and make friends socially in order to raise children in the groups, in the tribes. Of course we did. It was very important. Men had to solve problems. They always have. That's their brain. That's where they're wired. And so many guys, I feel that women have come to expect so much of them that they're impossible to please. So, I mean, this is what I'm seeing all the time. So women just get frustrated because they don't feel like they're heard. Let me pull some quotes here. These are the common ones. I hurt all the time because I feel alone and abandoned. My husband is no longer my friend. Okay? He judges me and makes statements about what I am not anymore and the way I used to be. Ooh. Here's another biggie. The only time he pays attention to me is when he wants sex. He's never there for me when I need him the most. When he hurts my feelings, he doesn't apologize. We're like ships passing in the night. He goes his way and I go mine. My husband has become a stranger to me. I don't even know who he is anymore. My partner slash husband doesn't show any interest in me or what I do. So these are the common reasons that I hear from women as to why they file for divorce or leave men. I'm not saying, yeah, you go. Yeah, that's right. I'm just reiterating to you what I hear and what I see. So what is the key? Communicate better. That's it. Learn how to communicate better. And find out what you need to do to tell your partner if you feel like the pressure is put on you and you have to be all these things and you've made the effort. Work it out. Go to a couples therapist and find out what you might be doing to communicate better and how you really are trying to make it work. Mm-hmm. Very important to do. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, by the way, and you're on the couch here with me today as I answer my listeners' questions who've written me straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Over the last month, throughout the holidays, I received a lot of relationship-oriented emails, which is cool. I love that because, you know, I'm really trying to help people out who are trying to figure things out, because usually the beginning of the new year means new beginnings of relationships. You know, we have all of our resolutions that we want to keep. And then, of course, the holidays, Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever. When you celebrate getting together with families and friends, it gets a little dicey because we're sort of forced to have to be with those difficult family members. So I get all these emails about stuff like that. Okay, so another one of the most common emails that I receive is about self-criticism. And I've been working on this subject for years, trying to help people out. And I'm working on I've been working on this book and I'm almost done. But it has to do with living freely, getting off your own back, forgiving yourself for the mistakes you've made, and finding the life you want. Boom, that's it. Okay, so this was in particular an email that I pulled. It said, I heard you interviewing a psychiatrist recently on one of your past shows. By the way, all the archives, you can check them out, and all the content. We're pulling up the new information today, by the way, on the website, my particular website, Channel 1, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Pull that up and you can see some of the subjects that I've discussed. Also, my shows are available on iTunes podcasts for free. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Anyway, getting back to my listener who expresses the concern of so many. I heard that interview with a psychiatrist you did a while back, and you said that one of the most common reasons that people are unhappy is because they constantly criticize themselves. Can you talk more about that and how we can get out of that cycle? Yeah, I think that's one of the most, that's the biggie. What is? Well, it's living in our own heads. That little voice that always says, you're not good enough. You're not enough of enough. You're not, right? It's always an ongoing thing. Self-checking is what we call it. There's always, ooh, I shouldn't have said that. Or maybe I was, ooh, I wonder how I came off in that particular situation or interview or with that date or with a, You've got to learn how to just be cool with who you are and say, hey, maybe I was a little outspoken at the moment and I just got to let it go. Because we always are on high beta. Whoop! That conscious brain always criticizing. Well, it's nice to self-check and say, gee, was that appropriate at that time? Maybe I should tweak it a little bit. Because I had a little incident in the parking lot with someone and I told them to go themselves. And the person said they're going to get my license plate and call the police. And no. We need to tweak our impulses. We need to take care of ourselves. But I think the big thing is stop criticizing ourselves and our past for what we should have done. So many people come in to see me and they regret their past. Well, when I got out of college, I should have done this. No, well, excuse me. It's 5 years later. Now, where are you at and what do you want? Let's move on to that. I can't. I'm stuck. No, you're not. You get to make some choices. Yeah, maybe I have to pull it back a little on the financial spending. I have a lot of people moving back in with their parents. Oh, my goodness. That's okay. If their parents are cool and they say, come on, save a little money so you can buy your own condo and save up for a nicer car or whatever it is, or just get your life in order, cool. I say try to be as independent as you can, but sometimes we got to have a little help from our friends and family, and that's good too. So, you know, here's the thing about self-criticism. You have to question yourself. You have to be mindful of your thoughts. So if you're thinking, maybe I shouldn't have said that, that's fine. Review it. Learn it. If you felt uncomfortable about what you said, you can reach out to that person and say, oh, you know, I don't know what I was thinking, but you communicate with someone or you let it go. Sometimes when we clarify what we mean because we express something different to someone and we clarify with them and communicate, it's okay to say, wow, you know, my mind was on so many things. I'm sorry if I came off too abrupt. What I really meant to express to you was, think these things out. Was whatever. It's called, you know, just sort of closure or taking care or cleaning it up or whatever with someone. You can do that and then get off your own back. Next time, you won't be doing that. Or maybe not. It takes a while sometimes to learn proper communication or what feels right. We got to let go of the past. Now, what I'm saying is if you've done things and hurt people and ripped people off, and no, you've got to remember that those things are not okay, but you've got to learn that it's not okay to do it in the future. You've beaten yourself up enough for things, so let it go and say, I've learned that I cannot do these things. I was young, stupid, learning, whatever, and let things go. Some people are slower learners. We still do naughty behaviors in our middle age, that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Well, let it go. Learn from it and move on. Because the words we use sometimes about ourselves and those little, you know, voices in our heads really can mess us up. And the voices come from guess where? That's right, growing up in our situation at home. Should have done this. You can do better. You need to do this. You need to achieve this. You need to go. It's nice to have parents who care enough to say that. But we got to let go of mistakes that we've made, and we have to say, wow, I am not that loser that my mom or dad or whoever said I was. I am an individual, and I'm going to focus. If you've had substance abuse problems, you get clean. I'm going to make my life work. I'm not going to allow those people in the past to get me down. I'm not going to self-medicate anymore. I'm going to get healthy. So it's all about sometimes the way that we talk to ourselves and the naughty words we use to our brain. I'm stupid. I'm not bright enough. I can't keep up with my colleagues. I should be in this particular, you know, level of income. I should be in a relationship. I should have had kids by now. Stop all that. Come on. Everybody is different. And everybody has their own reality about what they want. And just because societal and, you know, social media says you have to be in this place and this time and that, live your life the way you want to. Don't let other people push you around and tell you how to dictate your life. And stop beating yourselves up for the past and things you should have or could have, you know. when something goes wrong or you've made a mistake, don't continue to beat yourself up. Accept that as a feedback instead of calling yourself a failure or just classifying yourself. When you're thinking about failures, I hate that word, and what went wrong, I failed. Well, yeah, sure, we can fail a, you know, test, sure. But I failed at that. Yeah, I don't like that word. The words we use really, really color our experiences and our own self-consciousness. So when you're thinking about failures and what went wrong, you're unable to look at what's right. So clear all that out there. Let's look at what needs to be done and what's right. Okay? And just one last thing. Just do for you. Don't take in all the negativity that you bought into in the past about who you are. Develop within yourselves a strong compulsion to grow and learn and master your life. Find out what gives you passion, what gives your life meaning and direction. Your focus on your dreams and, gosh, like anticipating something positive and taking positive actions will allow you to get rid of that inner critic. Defocus on the now. Defocus on that old past and focus on the now. Okay? Yeah. Just do it that way and take care of yourself. All right? All right. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you're on the couch today. And what I'm doing is I'm answering you guys' questions. And I really appreciate it. This is really cool stuff because I've got a bunch of psychological questions that I've accumulated all throughout December, all throughout last month. And what I'm doing is we're kind of stepping into the new year here, and I'm saying change it up. And I'm trying to help you out with some of the questions, like I said, that you have. So what I wanted to do also, let's see here. Yeah, here we go. This is another common one that I was just looking at. Oh, yeah, pulled this one up. This is great. A lot of folks tell me that they feel that they're in a rut, especially here in Los Angeles. I see a lot of people who, work in very fast-paced environments, a lot of entertainment people, and they're working 10 to 12 hours a day. They just... When do you find time to exercise? Oh, yeah, so you lose sleep. That's right, I got to get up at 5:30, 6 in the morning so I can, and I'm just chronically fatigued and I'm about ready to pass out and sleep at 3 at the office or at whatever I do for work. I hear this all the time. People are chronically fatigued or they just don't feel like doing anything and they just chill out on the weekend. So it's nice to do stuff, get out there, have private, have personal time, try to find new relationships, get social. That's the stuff that makes us happier. So what I hear a lot is that a lot of people find themselves in a rut and they're not happy, they're on a hamster wheel, they're working, like I said, 9 to 12 hours a day, okay? And a lot of people just don't have time to go out. And their lives get boring. And they just feel like they're, just slaves to make money, basically. And, well, it's kind of like that living here in Los Angeles. It's very expensive. Very expensive in California. So how do we do it? We really have to have better time management. All right? We have to take time for ourselves. We have to. A lot of people don't take lunch because they want to catch up to their work and they're sitting at their desk and they're, take a walk. If you're in a work environment, you got to get up and get the heck out of there. You got to take a walk, even for 15 minutes. It clears your head. Think about what you're going to be doing for the weekend. Think about the positive things. Think about the fun. Think about a trip. Think you've got to change up your mind. You've got to work on your thoughts. And stop the gotta-dos and stop the beating yourself up. What you need to do is get up and manage your time better. You got to get to bed a little earlier. I know it's hard to get down if you're amped up because you've been working late, but you've got to figure it out. How are you going to manage so you can get 7 hours at least a night if you're an adult? 7 hours. Some people don't need it. They do 6 hours, but they're burnt out as years accumulate, they're burnt out. So yeah, I'm just saying, studies say that we need, you know, like 7 hours as adults of sleep a night, usually, to replenish and rejuvenate. You got to have those delta and REM stages. Delta's cellular repair, helping the body. All right? REM, of course, supposedly mental repair, working through stuff, having those strange dreams. It's like a computer just kind of sorting out everything, making sense of life. That's how we survive. So you have to really make time for yourself. Do a lot of time management. Try to find a job or an environment you like. Try to befriend folks at work so you can enjoy that social life too outside. Maybe go to happy hour or whatever. Go to, if you're not a drinker or whatever, go have coffee. Go have whatever time. Just sit, relax, and try to make some friends in a work environment as well. You know, also be with people who nourish you. Don't hang on to people who are dragging emotionally and just pull you along and make you feel, oh, you know, those energy vampire folks. Yeah, that's hard. What you have to do is you have to really be with people who make you feel good. Not always complimenting you, that's not what I'm saying, but people who you vibe to, who are nourishing, who are positive, who are not drama, you know, energy-sucking vampires. Be with people who are of like mind. Be with family who are of like mind. Draw boundaries with family who are not too positive for you. You got to take care of yourself. Time management. Get your exercise in. That's huge. You don't have to kill yourself in the gym for an hour every day. You don't. There's 4 days a week. If you can do 30 minutes of exercise, you're good to go. Do a little weight bearing. Get that heart rate up. Bada boom. All right. One of the things also that I suggest that people do, I know it's carving out more time, but it, you know, there's so many apps you can learn, you know, how to relax and focus in the morning. A lot of people call it meditation. Do 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes before you get your day started. Pour your tea, your coffee, whatever. Go sit down somewhere and just go into gratitude. That's meditation right there. Thank you for letting me wake up, whoever you're thanking. Thank you, universe. Thank you, God. Thank you, whoever your religious figure, who you pray to, whoever, whatever. Thank you. First thing in the morning, gratitude. Thank you for letting me wake up. If you have a rough life and it sucks, you go, ugh, another day. Not good. Thank you, even if you don't feel it, for letting me wake up. I'm going to tackle this day the best way I can, and I'm not going to stress out. Gratitude is one of the most important things. If you listen to every single current spiritual teacher, lecturer, they're all saying, all of them, a lot of the folks I've had on this show, first thing you have to do is be grateful in the morning for the smallest things, anything you can think of. It doesn't matter. You can have goofy things you're grateful. Thank you for this bowl of cereal. Well, yeah, you know, you have food. A lot of people don't. Thank you for this amazing cup of coffee. Thank you for my weird thoughts and my weird sense of humor. Gratitude. 10 minutes of it. Close your eyes. Don't go to gotta do's. Don't go to have to's. Don't do it. Stay in the gratitude for a little while. Breathe slowly. Oxygenate your brain. Lower your heart rate. You don't have to get up from bed. The race is on. Got to hit the shower and get the couple of minutes earlier. You got to be grateful for what you have. And that's really important to do. So that's something I'm just saying, that it's really a good idea to help you. Because that's what a lot of the, they're not only spiritual teachers, but their consciousness, the consciousness people talk about. Okay. So, along that line as well, another common topic that I get from people asking me questions, how can I enjoy my life better? So we talked about how can I get off my own back, right? How can I manage my time? I feel like I'm a slave to my job or my life. I don't have time for me. And one of the most important things is, how can I be more happy? How can I be a happier person? Well, I'm going to tell you some of the most common ways to be happier. It's hard sometimes when you're in the rut that I just described previously. It's hard when you feel that you're always running the treadmill. How do we get off of it? Like I said, time management, taking care of ourselves. You just got to carve out some time. You got to have gratitude and meditate. Calm that mind of yours, right? And along with gratitude, to be happy, because you're saying out into the universe, we'll talk about that another time, about how that all works. It's real. It's quantum science. Positive thinking creates more hardwired positive thoughts. Appreciate life. That's the biggie. How can I be happier? Be thankful you woke up alive each morning. Focus more on the positive side of things. Don't take things for granted. And don't sweat the small stuff. You got to be mindful. That's called mindfulness. Why am I getting so upset at this fool who cut me off on the freeway? Not important. I'm going to put the music back on. I'm going to drive and I'm going to sing. Woo! Also, besides appreciating things more, choose your friends wisely. Like I said, surround yourself with people who are happier, positive, who share your values and goals. No drama sucking vampires. Okay? Brings you down. Life sucks. Becomes such a habit to get into gossip and pain and emotion and drama and all. Let it go. It's going to lower your vibes. I'm just telling you. This is real stuff here. Accept others for who they are. So, number three to me, being considerate of others. Be kind. Understand where they are in life. Respect others for who they are. Touch people with a kind and generous spirit. Help folks when you're able to do it. Don't try to change someone else. Just try to be stable. You go out in public. Have you ever really noted that when you go out in public, you do stuff? You got to go to the bank. Got to go see the teller. You got people behind you. You're kind of talking in a, you know, coffee shop. You're just hanging loose and you're... If you're more positive, you're going to feel that from others. It's just the way it is. Be considerate. Allow others to have their truth and what they need. Let it go. Don't judge. Okay? Do what you love. Find out what you love. I don't know what I love. I haven't had time to think about what I like to do. Well, let's work on it. Write down some of the things you used to love to do when you were younger. Are you a musician? Do you like to sing? I don't care. You don't have to be good at it. What do you love? Do you love to paint? Do you love to run? Do you love to play with your Legos? Yeah, that's fun, huh? Do you love video games? Cool, do it. Do what brings you joy. Okay? Choose, if you can, to learn about a career or something you'd like to get into. Sometimes that extra money of a job you detest is not worth it. Make time to enjoy your hobbies. Find out what you'd like to do. Spin it up. Start hiking with some nice friends. Incorporate the exercise with some talk and laughter and have a good time. Get outside, breathe the air. And, oh, my goodness. Right? Enjoy that beauty around you. And don't give up. Keep persistent. I'm not saying kill yourself. Just face all the new challenges and different attitudes that it's going to bring you one step closer to your goals. As long as you don't give up, we're going to fall. We're going to take 3 steps up and 4 backwards, 10 steps up and 8 backwards. It's cool. We're taking a little action. Moving on. Take care of yourself, your mind and body and health. Really important. That's it. And as I always say at the end of all my shows, Do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for other people. And that's the way it works in the world. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. Thank you guys so much for writing in to straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. If you have any questions or comments about today's feedback, and you have more questions that you'd like answered, go ahead, shoot me a text. Shoot me an email, rather. Yeah, you can text. You can find out on my website as well, talkshowtherapist.com. All right, guys, thanks for being here. I'll talk to you next week, and I'll be answering more listeners' questions. Plus, we're going to focus on what's all that stuff mean about the law of attraction. What is that stuff about? Well, I'll tell you. I'm going to tell it to you. Have a good week. Do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for other people. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye now.